Hi, it's Lisa Wexler. If you'd like to contact me, please do so at lisa@lisawexler.com. Welcome to our podcast. Joining us now is Diane Cece of East Norwalk Neighborhood Association. We're going to pivot a little bit to some local issues, but if we want to, we'll be returning to the national ones around 11:50 if you want to call us back at that time. Diane, hi and welcome. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Lisa. How are you?
I'm well. I saw a bunch of items in the news today about Norwalk, including, of course, your own newsletter, but I also saw that there was an announcement by Steve Kleppen. I think he's the director of planning and zoning in Norwalk, that I guess after a long amount of investigation and research, Norwalk is coming up with brand new zoning regulations. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. I think it's either a 2 or 3 year process at this point, engaged with consultants, of course. And what they're looking to do is rewrite do a complete overhaul of the zoning regulations throughout the city. And I think if I recall, they've said that it really wasn't done for the past 30 years. There's been some, you know, tweaks as you go along, of course, but this is the first comprehensive review of zoning regulations throughout the city. So,
and what do they want to accomplish, Diane? Yeah, I mean, like, do they want to keep neighborhoods the way they are? Do they want to encourage change?
You know,
what do they want to do?
It's interesting because two things with that. They're going to make a public presentation of the draft presentation of these zoning rewrites on April 4th, I think it is. We'll have it posted on our website. And but what Mr. Kleppen is not doing is making any of the information available beforehand so that folks can kind of read it at their leisure. And
what's the
secret?
You know,
that's a great question, Lisa. And actually, when I called in today, I almost wanted to say to you that our conversations at this point really shouldn't focus on specific applications or studies. It really is. A lot of this has so much more to do with broken systems that just don't work. This is a great example of it. So we applaud the city to have public presentations where people can review these studies, see what they're recommending, providing more feedback. Who remembers what feedback we provided 2 years ago? You know, it's hard to do that. But the fact is that when you're actually in these meetings, either in person or mostly via Zoom, they are, you're really essentially seeing it for the first time. And it doesn't really give you an opportunity to digest it, to think about it, and to provide any relevant feedback at that point.
I hate Zooms. I'm beginning to hate them altogether. I'd rather go into a room, a public room, get the feel of the room, really sit and absorb a presentation, watch all the body language, see all the eyes darting with each other, get a sense of what's going on in the room. You can't get that on a Zoom.
Right, exactly. And I I'm a proponent of hybrid because I think it gives people both opportunities.
Hybrid
and the
is
choice.
Good. Hybrid is good. But if you're really very involved, you want to be in the room.
Exactly.
Hybrid is excellent for people who really want to just observe. But if you want to be in there pitching and understanding, you got to be in the room.
Exactly. And to your point, the body language is so important with the because sometimes those that eye darting is eye rolling, which just drives us mad. But so the point is that if your goal is really to have public participation and to get the type of involvement where people can provide really relevant feedback, there isn't any reason why this can't be provided to the public in advance so people can read it at their leisure, print it out. I like to do that. I'm a dinosaur, I guess. I print things out. I write notes, you know, on the sidelines. I circle things that I want to make sure that I'm able to bring up. When you don't provide it in advance, and you don't have that much of an opportunity, and what ends up happening at the end of these meetings, I'm sure you've been in dozens of them, is you can send your comments and suggestions into City Hall, send them into this email, and you know, after the fact, people are less inclined to do that.
Of course,
the other thing is I don't think that there should be any kind of an aha moment or ambush of people seeing something for the first time that could possibly be very controversial. I don't know what's in it because I'm not privy to it. And I think their concern is that my understanding is their concern is that they want people to be together when, and listen to the presentation versus just reading something. But another portion of the zoning regulation rewrite is the accompanying map, the zoning map.
That's key.
That would reflect the changes they're recommending.
Of course.
And for some reason, they're very concerned with the public seeing that map ahead of time.
Well, that's terrible. That's ridiculous.
That makes me nervous. Because...
Let me ask you this. Steve Kleppen, is he is the planning and zoning director. So this is, mm-hmm. is he hired by the mayor? Who hires him and how does that work?
Right. He's a mayoral appointment. And then confirmed by, common council as a hire and reports into the director of, she may even have a higher title, of economic development.
I see.
And planning and zoning and transportation, mobility and parking. It's a really kind of a large group. He controls not only the administration of planning and zoning, of course, but also directs the Planning and Zoning Commission. And just to remind your readers, because it's a little confusing in Connecticut, some Planning and Zoning commissions are separate, and some are together, and some commissioners are appointed, and some are elected. In Norwalk, our Planning and Zoning Commission is combined, which was just recently done in the past year, and they are appointed and not elected. So
and
all
they appointed for two-year terms?
By the mayor
two-year
and approved
terms?
By council.
Two-year terms or four-year terms?
I think it's – I'm not sure what zoning is. I think it's – it could be four-year. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And then there's rotating because they have alternate commissioners as well.
Has there ever been a movement to changing it? Because Westport years
yes.
ago, the Planning and Zoning Commission was appointed, and then before my time, it became elected.
Right.
When it comes to fitness, what's real? How about when it really, truly fits your life? That's how Anytime Fitness sees it. Because our coaches see you. It's how they build personal plans that work wherever you are and focus on everything that matters, from fitness to nutrition to recovery, all so you can push yourself further than ever or just through the next rep. It's total 360 support for a real difference. That's Anytime Fitness. That's real AF. Visit AnytimeFitness.com.
Yeah, from time to time, various groups bring up, the discussion about having changing it in the charter to having planning and zoning commissioners elected instead of appointed. And we're in the middle of or in the process of charter revision as well. So I'm not sure if that will be on the table this year or not. So
what would you think about it? Do you think it's a good idea to appoint or elect?
I have gone both ways, honestly. Here's my feeling on it. I think that, obviously for voter control, so that you don't have, especially when you have long-standing majority rule, as we do in Norwalk. I mean, I think Harry Rilling is in his sixth term now, and with double terms of majority on the council, 14 Democrats to one Republican. So I think that there's something, inherently, questionable in that type of process. However, when people suggest they should be voted in, I always remind them to take a look at the people that you did elect. And if you're happy with that, then you should consider having elected commissioners.
But here's the thing. Diane. Let me explain. At least the way the charter is written in Westport, and it doesn't have to be written this way in Norwalk, but in Westport and in many other communities, the charter is written, believe it or not, to guarantee a sizable percentage of minority representation.
Right.
So on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and it's just the way it's written, you cannot have the majority be by more than one. So you could have four Democrats, three Republicans, or you could have, I think, three Democrats and two Republicans and two independents. It's something like that, where there has to still be a minority.
Yeah.
And so you could write it that way, and it doesn't guarantee that the majority won't always win because they're the majority, but it allows some people now and then to be swing voters and have a little bit more independence.
Exactly. Definitely one of the major benefits of election versus appointment, Because the other thing is, too, is with zoning is that you need to have representation from across the city and not just heavily weighted in, you know, neighborhoods that, you know, are looking to protect their own, you know, what their own interests are as well. So in
That's
the meantime,
true.
It
so
is
you could
the way
insist
that it
that
is.
People...
And unless it does come right. up and it is covered in our charter, unless it does become a part of the charter revision, you know, we can expect it to stay this way. The thing
so
that
we're
was
chatting
concerning
with Diane,
to us,
so,
though,
yeah, go ahead. Yep.
What was concerning to us is that I guess there's a longer history about how planning and zoning first got separated to begin with. My understanding is it had something to do, you know, politically with some issues politically. But when they got back, Mr. Kleppen considered recombining them, one of the stated goals that he did state in public was so that everything could be streamlined for the developers in order to save them time and money and resources by having to often do double presentations to one to a planning commission, depending on the nature of the application, and then a second one to the zoning commission. And so one of the primary goals was in the best interest of saving time, money, and resources for developers. How
so let's
that
go
works
back
for
to
the
what's...
public? Yeah, not right, so much.
Right. Well, I think it's self-evident. So right. tell me a little bit, what is happening with Cemetery and with Mill Pond and all of that, mm-hmm. Diane
yep. So right now there have been two formal public hearings. The first was on March 2nd. The second was on the 15th. It was continued. In the first session, the developers did a more than three-hour overview of the plan, so it left very little time in the evening for the public to speak. So the second hearing was continued to the 15th. The overwhelming majority of speakers at both in person, this was hybrid, in person and on Zoom, overwhelmingly have rejected this plan. Some to a lesser degree, you know, lesser or greater degrees than others. Others have more concern about traffic versus density and height and the buildings themselves. And so last week, the public comment portion of the hearing was closed. And this week, tomorrow night, is a continuance of the public hearing, but the intent is only for it to be the applicant's attorney doing the applicant's rebuttal to the public comment. And part of the rebuttal is answering specific questions from the public as well regarding the application. And then depending on how late the hour goes, we can expect, or we've been told to expect, that the commission can actually deliberate and vote on the Cemetery Street application all in the same night. So they may hear the rebuttal, deliberate and vote tomorrow night. We're just not sure of that at this point.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah, it's, you know, and staff will tell you it's not quick because this has been going on for, you know, since the summer. But lots of things don't happen in between, especially that the public is really engaged with, meetings that they can't participate in, they can only watch. But from the time that it becomes public in terms of public hearings, things do happen pretty rapid fire.
Very quickly. Wow.
So, yeah, some of it is because of state statutes that require timelines under which public hearings must be scheduled and then closed.
Has anybody done an environmental impact statement on the pond?
Well, not exactly. So they did at the last minute kind of dump on us some environmental information, but it's not to the extent of a study that we would like to see. The DEEP really hasn't stepped up to the plate to do to look at what this impact is because they have very limited purview over what they can look at.
And
there's two things. There's inland wetlands. Only a tiny sliver of which is involved in this parcel, believe it or not, even though it sits at the pond. And the other area is related to water-dependent uses and impact on endangered and watch list species.
Well, look, they're very busy trying to get people to hunt bears deep, mm-hmm. okay? They're very busy trying to encourage, you know, hunting mm-hmm. again in Litchfield County. It's just mm-hmm. shocking to me. All right. Well, Diane, listen, we could continue to get in the weeds with this. I know people are very interested in what happens to East Norwalk. But just lifting up from a little bit, if people want to find out more and subscribe to your newsletter, how could they do this?
Please, yes. Yeah. So it's East Norwalk Neighborhood Association. Our website is eastnorwalk.org. And our email is info@eastnorwalk.org. And they can get on our email list. Like you said, it's the best way to keep informed. And we certainly want people to be able to observe tomorrow night and see how the vote goes. Just quickly, Lisa, they can vote to approve outright. They can vote to approve with a slew of conditions on it that may mitigate some of our big concerns. They can deny outright, or they can deny without prejudice, meaning that the applicant is free to come back with a reconfigured plan that would be more agreeable without having to start the entire process over again.
Okay, so there were choices,
yes.
And the Planning and Zoning Commission is aware of its choices.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Good luck. Let us know what happens.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll keep you posted.
Good luck for the birdies. Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, please share it with your friends. And as always, feel free to contact me at Lisa@LisaWexler.com.